You know, last Sunday I was talking about, you know, some different things, and I was talking about, I made several different points, and so there. But I will say this though: there was one point I was just talking basically about kind of understanding what you have in Christ, and I actually started out talking about how, you know, that I think when you come to, you know, when you come to the church, like, you know, consistently, and you kind of start, like, not just hearing a message, but you kind of start hearing, like, the theme sort of what we talk about and the verses we bring you to and just the content of what we teach and stuff like that. I was just saying that I think that's really when you start seeing that, like, okay, that something is different. And I'm not saying anything about our church. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a real famine of the knowledge of God, you know, in the church today. There's a real lack of it. And so, but I know that there are things that, you know, we teach here that are a little bit different, but I don't think that you're really going to see that at first. If you just come once or twice, or you just come sporadically, I really think you start seeing it when you start learning, and you really start seeing the core, the things that we say about Jesus and stuff, and the kind of the points that are made. I think that comes with a consistency. And, you know, and the certain things that I was saying last service was that basically that, like, how we have everything, and, you know, and it's just obviously God just wants to understand what we have. And there's an understanding. It's, you know, it's not that Christians, some Christians have more than other Christians. It's that some Christians understand what they have and what believers have in general, and other Christians just don't have. You know, let me say this. When I say that some Christians have a lack of understanding, it's really this. It's that, yeah, there's a lack of right understanding, but there's a lack of right understanding because there's such a feeling of wrong understanding. It's really what it is. But it's not that, like, we just have voids in our mind where we just don't think anything. If you lack knowledge of God in some area, it's because you have a wrong knowledge of something else. So that's really what it is. It's that there's wrong knowledge that needs to be replaced with right knowledge. And there's wrong understanding that needs to be replaced with right understanding. So there are things that we pick up through life that are incorrect, and God just wants to renew our minds. What the word means, renewing, means like to renovate. It means like to take out that old and put in new things. And so that's what God wants to do when he's renewing our mind. It's really, like I said, it's not filling in voids with understanding that where you just had a void before. Is that we always have some kind of understanding when we come to the Lord and we're learning from him. And God wants to take that understanding. He wants to change that understanding into an understanding that's cohesive with actually who you are. So you're not becoming anything more in Christ, but God wants to change. The only reason why God wants to know him more is because you have something that he wants you to know about. It's not, I was just even sharing with the kids, like, it's not that God wants to get to know him because, like, he's putting a guilt trip on us or something like that, and he needs it for himself. It's that God wants us to know what we have because God did something for us, and we need to know what we already have. We need to understand who we already are in Christ. You know, like, knowing God doesn't make you anything better before God. Knowing God doesn't make you anything better as a believer, as a Christian. Knowing God means you just know what you have now. Like, you had it before, but now you know what you have. So the reason why we're here, you shouldn't be coming here for God's, you know, sake. You know, Easter's coming up, and you know what? We may get a few extra people in here because it's Easter, but, you know, it's just wrong. It's wrong to come because the only reason why people come, they feel guilty because they think they're doing something for God. Like, Easter is the same as today's service. It's that we're celebrating what Jesus did at the cross and the resurrection power that we have through him, and it's all the same thing. You know, you're not getting to know God for his sake. You're getting to know God because you have something that he gave you, then you simply want to know it. If you don't want to know the things that God gave you, you don't have to get to know God. You see, it's for your benefit. The reason why God wants you to know it is because of your benefit. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that getting to know God is something that, like, you can live without it or you can live with it. You can't live without it, but it is still your decision because it's not for God's benefit. God's not getting offended when you don't get to know him. It's that you are missing out. And when I say missing out, I don't mean you're missing out like we would say, like, if you if there was a group of people that went out and had a good time and you were left home and that kind of missing. I mean, you're missing out. Like, you don't understand. You're walking around with a misplaced, almost like, identity. Like, you don't understand your identity. You're walking around like a human being and, like, you're not. So that's why it's so wrong. It's because you have so much in Jesus, and it just seems like, let me say this. If we actually knew, if we had a taste of who we were in Christ now, what Jesus actually did for us, no one could hold you back from getting to know God more. No one could hold you back from getting to know Jesus more. So it's a matter of understanding what we already have. You are not being changed. God is not going to change you anymore. God is not going to do anything for you anymore. God's not going to make you into anything more like him. You know, and we really think that. We think, like, almost like, I'm getting to know God more and more and I'm growing spiritually. But actually, you're not growing spiritually. Your spirit is just fine. You're growing mentally. You're growing in your knowledge. When we say growing in Christ, we're not saying that we ourselves and our being are growing in Christ. We're merely talking about knowledge. That's why the first thing says sowing God's word. And that's what you're growing in. And even that, you have God's word on the inside of you. What we're talking about is in your physical mind that you are understanding more of who you already are in Christ. You may be growing in spiritual understanding, but you are not growing spiritually. And most people, when you say, I'm growing, they do mean knowledge, but they also mean other stuff too. I'm growing. They mean like I'm maturing. Like almost like when you mature as a Christian, that means that, you know, you become something more. You become some big, more mature person. You're the same as you were the moment you got saved. The second you got saved, God is not going to do a bit more of change in you. He won't. And you say, well, of course, you know, we're transformed, but transformed doesn't mean you're being changed, okay? Because here's what it means. Transformation is talking about the outward form. On the outside, it's talking about that appearance. It means the appearance being changed, but nothing actually changed. The appearance changed. Because it's not that you're getting more or you're being changed into something else. It's who you already are in Christ appearing through you. You see, it's becoming, that's what the word manifest means. Manifest doesn't mean like God endowed you with some special power. Manifest means you had it before, and look, people that are carnal can see it now. Notice I said people that are carnal can see it now, because if you're actually spiritual, you shouldn't be judging your brother and sister in Christ or yourself by appearance, because then you're going to deceive yourself. But it appears. So you see, like, okay, as I'm getting to know Jesus, I believe that I'm being transformed. But you know what transform means? It means change of appearance. Appearance change. Trance is like that change, and form means the outward appearance. But just outward appearance. Just outward appearance. Is I already have it. I have it already. And when I get to know Jesus, it appears. But you see, like, it's like if you have something under a cloth and you pull the cloth away, you didn't just get anything. You maybe couldn't have seen it. You didn't see it before maybe, but it just appeared. And the things that you have in Christ merely appear. They don't increase in that sense. They just appear. So when we're getting to know God, we're getting to know the Lord because we are something in Christ and we have something in Christ. But honestly, we wouldn't want to walk around so foolish as to be going and struggling through so many things, and you're free from that already. You know, like we go through so much and we go through so much heartache, and you think that's normal. And it's not normal for a Christian to go through any heartache. No heartache at all. You know, we talk about God's just placed this burden on me. You know, like it just, we contradict ourselves and we don't know what terminology means, I guess, also. And that's why we just are so unlearned in so many things. You know, you should be carrying around such a lightness with you and such an ease with you all day, every single day of your life. And if you don't carry that around, you're missing something in your knowledge. Bad things don't happen to Christians and they suffer the consequences of it because that's the world we live in. Because the Bible, Paul says, why as if you were living in the world? He goes on from there, which I'm not going to explain the context. But he says, like, you're not even living in this world anymore. You're not a part of the world anymore because Jesus redeemed you from it. And so if we suffer and we're going through so much in our life, you know, don't come to somebody and be like, I'm going through such a hard time and this and that, and actually, like, relate with it. If you suffer the consequences of this world, I'm not saying, I just got done telling you who you were in Christ, right? I'm not saying you're not this in Christ. You are this in Christ. But if you're just broken into pieces over stuff that's going on in your life, you're missing something in your knowledge. And there's no, I was just explaining with the teens on Friday, we want to make things all the time, like this big gray area, like there's all these things that we can't explain. Like if there's a shooting and Christians die somewhere, if there's a persecution that goes on somewhere else, if someone so-and-so, our great-grandma died sick, if so-and-so gets cancer, we act, it's acting most of the time, or lack of knowledge, we act like this is big gray area. Like we don't know why things like this happen. Who knows, they love God so much. Our version of loving God, no one's helped by our version of loving God. Because you love God so much, you pray so much, and you appreciate God so much. You always went to church. You always prayed for other people. That's not going to save you from anything. That's not going to heal you of cancer. But we act like this is a big gray area. Like we almost can't explain why things like this happen. Why do people go through such hardships? Why is there so much suffering in the world? That's the big question with everybody. It's such an easy answer. Jesus already did it. So honestly, I'm not saying there's a problem with us. But guess what? If we suffer the consequences of anything in this world, there is something about Jesus that we need to know that can either prevent that or fix that. It's black and white. I mean, it's as black and white can possibly be. There's a very defined line between that black and white, and there's no gray there. It's not mysterious. If we are suffering in our life and going through hardships, you're either doing it willfully, even though you know you already redeemed from it, or you're going through it because of ignorance. And that's the only reason. There is no other reason. There is no other mysterious thing to talk about. The Bible says that the grace of God that's on the inside of us, it is multiplied into our flesh and into our life by the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you can't understand that, then honestly, you don't understand how you were saved. Do we ever ask this question? I'll close with this. Do we ever ask this question? It's so mysterious. Why are some people saved and some people aren't saved today? Like some people, you see, they get saved, they know Jesus, and other people, they're not saved. I mean, if I were to ask you that question, why are some people not saved today? Isn't it such a big mysterious thing? I mean, some people generally are Christians and some people are not Christians. You would look at me funny. Believe on Jesus and you get saved, right? I mean, like, do you know why some people aren't saved today? I could tell you. Because they don't believe in Jesus. They don't know Jesus. So would you be scared to offend somebody if someone says, I don't believe in Jesus, but do you believe I'm going to heaven? And would you be scared to tell someone, you're not going to heaven unless you believe on Jesus? Would you be scared to tell someone that? You shouldn't be, because the truth. And guess what? They need the truth, or else they're not going to get set free. So you can't be scared of offending somebody, just tell them the truth. So if someone's going through all this in their life as a Christian, and they ask you, why am I going through this? Isn't it a weird thing? It's not weird. You have a lot in Christ. This is no problem for you. You need to get to know Jesus. You need to get to know what you have. If you get to know Jesus, that thing will cause you to walk in your freedom. There's no problem. You're already free from it. Like as a Christian, it's a little different for us because we're not receiving anything. We already have it, but it's no mystery. If you're going through hard times and discouragement in your life, there's something you need to know about Jesus that will fix that discouragement. And if you go on in discouragement, it's because whatever that knowledge of Jesus is that you need to know, you don't know it. Black and white, real easy. But you know why we don't say that? Because we don't want to offend people. We want to make things mysterious to people so that it's almost like, it's not your fault. You're doing everything right. But who knows? Maybe God just wants you to go through this. No. You are right already in Christ. You are all these things in Christ. But most people don't know it. That's why people die. That's why people, again, I'm not going back to this again, but if a Christian is in some kind of position, let me just kind of close with this. If a Christian is in a position of hardship, but they're actually going through the hardship and suffering the hardship of this world, that's why it is. Because you need to know Jesus. And not just know him as he died on the cross. I mean, you need to know something specific about Jesus for that area. Because it can fix that. Because the natural, normal thing for a Christian is the sick are healed, the dead are raised, and we walk in the power of the age to come. And anything else of this world is not normal for us. It's not normal. It's not normal to be discouraged. It's not normal to like every time you sin to feel guilt. That's not normal. It's not normal to walk around in depression just because someone doesn't love you. Because see, again, you're wrong. Because guess what? Someone does love you. And for you to say, yeah, but that's different. That's God's love. You better believe that's different. But it's different in a different way than you're saying. It's different because if you actually knew it, there'd be no reason for you to be so hurt about someone rejecting you. If you take rejection wrong, it's because you don't know something about Jesus. And it's clear as that, right? I mean, like, you can't say any other way. Like I said, it's black and white. The reason why we don't make it black and white is because we want to please people. That's the only reason. If we want to leave big gray areas, it's because we want to tell people that, no, you know everything right. Just keep doing what you're doing. And it's not the case. Tell people the truth, because guess what? If you don't tell them, they won't think there's anything wrong with their knowledge, and they'll keep knowing what they're knowing and walk around like a fool when they're actually the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that a silly thing? Walk around with the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're acting like we don't know why things are going on, and we just want to, like I said, we just want to make people comfortable in their knowledge, but you don't want to do that. You want every believer to experience who they already are in Christ. You already are this in Christ, and God wants you to experience it in your life. And it is knowing Jesus and knowing those specific things about Jesus, not knowing what you've known in the past about Jesus. If you keep continuing the knowledge you already have, you'll keep continuing the experience you're already experiencing. We're not continuing our knowledge like we're continuing the knowledge we already have. We're continuing to change our thinking. That's what continuance is. You keep changing the way you think. If you're not continuing to change the way you think, you'll live life and you'll die like a man when the Bible says you are gods, but you'll die like men. God said that to his people Israel. And Jesus quoted that also in John 10. So don't look at me weird about you are gods. That's what he said to his people Israel. He talked about they lack knowledge. He said you are gods and you'll die like men. But when Christians die like men, we say, oh, we don't know why that happens sometimes. You're gods and you'll die like men if you don't understand it. So guess what? If God has made us gods with Jesus, and that's not a bad word, I just don't use it often, then you know what? We should know it then, right? We should be filled in on this stuff. So that's a good thing. And then that's motive for getting to know Jesus, because God's been so good to us, and you cannot live without it. So we need to get to know that. All right, so you know what? We're going to close right there, and the ones that are working upstairs can get ready for the rest of the teens. And yeah, that's just, it's good stuff. So when we give toward the gospel today, you know, this should be as exciting as witnessing to somebody. Giving should be as exciting as witnessing to somebody, because that's actually what you're doing. It really should be. When you give, just give knowing what you're doing. When you give, you're actually preaching the gospel when you're giving. That's a pretty cool thing. Now, if you give to somebody, some other organization, then you're taking part in whatever they're doing. But when you give at a church where they're preaching the gospel and you know they're preaching the gospel, you're actually preaching the gospel. You're joining with them in preaching the gospel. So that's a pretty cool thing. So give like you're preaching the gospel today. All right? All right, so let's just pray. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you so much, Lord, for all you've done for us. And we thank you, Jesus. Lord, we are not saying things like this for condemnation purposes, Lord, because we're explaining who we are in Christ, Lord. We're saying these things, Lord, because, Lord, it really just takes the drive out of a Christian. It just saps the drive right out of a Christian when we say, no, everything that you know is perfect. We just go through things in life because we go through things in life. Because the world we live in, or whatever we say, Lord, it takes the drive right out of a Christian, because then we're not filling them in on how good they have it, and therefore they have no drive to seek to know it. We should be telling Christians, no, Jesus already fixed that. You already have that. You're blessed. You're blessed. God's already blessed that part of your body. God's already blessed that area of your life. You're a blessed person. And then, you know, we could agree with people, Lord, on them getting to know it and things like that, Lord. And that would give them a drive to get to know it. Because then they realize, wow, I can be experiencing something, the fullness of God. And I can experience this, the goodness and love of God that I'm not experiencing right now. Then that would be a drive to get to know Jesus. But if we're living life and this is just as good as it gets, Lord, then there's no drive to do anything, because we think like we've already arrived as good as we're going to get on this earth. And Lord, that's just not the case. So I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for everything you've done, Lord. But Father, I pray that we would just, we're not trying to condemn people, Lord, but it is good, Lord, to get a little kick in the pants of our minds sometimes, Lord, because we have to be corrected, Lord. If we're not being corrected, then that means we're not changing the way we think. And if we don't change the way we think, Lord, then we're going to keep doing the same thing we're doing right now, thinking that that's okay and that God's okay with us suffering the things of this world when he's given us Godship, if we want to say that, with Jesus. We are not the only true God, but we've been given lordship with Jesus. We've been given everything with him, and he loves us so much, Father, and it would just be foolish to go on living, Lord, in any other way. So we just thank you so much, Father, for all that you've done. Jesus, all that you've done for us through what you did at the cross, Lord. And Lord, we are changing the way that we think. Father, I pray that today would be a great day, Lord. Today is actually, Lord, is this February 28th? February 28th is the day that God designated for you to start changing the way that you think. Because the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart against it. So February 28th, 2016 is the very day. It's a very special day because it's the day that God has designated for you to begin changing the way that you think. It's a very special day because it's called today. And the Bible says, as long as it's called today, when I speak to you, don't harden yourself against it. So, Father, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for today. We don't care about tomorrow right now. We'll choose that tomorrow. When we wake up tomorrow, we'll acknowledge you again tomorrow, Jesus. But we're in today. We're not in tomorrow. And we're not in yesterday either. You can't change what we did yesterday, but you didn't ask us to change yesterday. You said, today, if you hear my voice. You didn't say, yesterday, if you heard my voice, too bad you didn't acknowledge me. Today, if you hear my voice, then don't harden your heart against it today. That's all that God wants. You're in today. You're not in tomorrow. And God is in today also. So God is asking you today, when you hear his voice, just don't harden your heart against it. Today is a great day to start changing the way that we think. Father, if we could just do that, if we could just say in our hearts, Lord, today, Jesus, I'm so loved. I'm so, so stinking blessed. It's coming out of my ears. I'm so blessed, Lord. I have it so good. I am going to start today, not making a decision for tomorrow. Today, Lord, I'm changing the way I think today. I'm going to acknowledge you, Jesus, to hear from you so I can change this stinking thinking, Lord, as has been said before. Lord, that's what we need to do. We need to change this thing because this thinking is so wrong, Lord. We think sometimes, Father, like we know you. And, Lord, we haven't heard the fraction of you, Lord, some of us. Father, we need to know this stuff. It's too good to pass up, Father, and it's not good. We don't want to continue in the knowledge we already have. That wouldn't be correct. Renewing our mind means a renovation. It means a changing of our mind. And a change of our mind happens every day of our life. So as you're hearing the Lord's voice today, and I believe it is, just don't harden your heart against it. So thank you so much, Father. As we go through this message today, Father, I pray that we would receive it, Lord, not from Pastor Jose. But Father, I pray that we would receive it just, Lord, hearing your word, hearing what you have to say to us from your word today. And Father, those things, those things, Father, that we feel that you're speaking to us today. Father, I pray that we would accept it, Lord, and know that you love us and you're not condemning us at all. You're actually just wanting to teach us how good we have it. We need to understand how good we have it, because we have it too good, Father, for us to not understand these things. We love you, Father. We thank you. We praise you. And we glorify you, Lord, because your people are so safe today. Your people are so saved, Lord, from everything in this world. You have overcome this world for us. We are so safe, Lord. So great a salvation. And we thank you, Father, for all the power of your resurrection, all the goodness of you, Father, your wisdom, and every good thing about you, Father. Good and pleasing and perfect is in us. And we thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus.